This morning, in Children's Corner, we used the illustration of Jonah. And we basically covered all of chapters 1 and 2 in Jonah's life, how he was running away from Nineveh. And he was running away from God. And how God, in his mercy, protected him with the preparing a great fish to kind of keep him company for a while. But that was the sign that Jesus was giving to the generation of his day. As far as when they said, we want a sign from you to see if you are really the Messiah or not. So tonight, we're going to look at the rest of the story of Jonah. And we're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 3 verses 4 all the way through the end of the book, which is chapter 4 verse 11. And the title of my sermon tonight is How Soon We Can Forget. How soon we can forget. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the examples that are given in it. Father, we help us, Lord, to learn through your grace and by your wisdom, Lord, that we would just look to you and that we would be changed. Lord, I just ask, be with us time tonight, Lord, of study. And Father, that your word would just go forth rightly. And Lord, that it would change our lives. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. So, Jonah goes to Nineveh. Because in chapter 3, the very first verse, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I am so glad that God gives a second chance. Amen. You know, God's will for your life is still God's will for your life, even if you mess up. Right. He wants you to go back and do what he originally intended for you to do. Verse 2, it says, arise. So here's the message. Okay, it doesn't change. God's thing. Well, I know that you really didn't want to go the first time, so I'll change it, make it a little bit more palatable. No, he says the exact same thing. God's message does not change. Verse 2, it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I what? Bid thee. And then verse 3 says, though Jonah arose. That's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing to obey God. It kind of keeps you out of trouble. It kind of keeps you from being eaten by things. And think about it. And went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. You know, that's how we're supposed to travel, according to what? The word of the Lord. You can't go wrong going where God wants you to go. You can't go wrong saying what God wants you to say. You can't go wrong being where God wants you. It says, now Nineveh is an exceeding great city, a 3 days journey. Some people say, well, it took him 3 days to get there. No, it was the size of the city. The diameter of the city took 3 days of walking around. Kind of like San Antonio. Okay? So, what we see here is that Jonah gets a second chance. And we also see in chapter 3 that there's another chance for Nineveh. Nineveh's a wicked city. And folks, there is another chance for America today. There's more chances for our church. There's chances for you tonight. And so we see the proclamation of God on Nineveh in verse 4. It says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So he goes into the interior of the city and he starts preaching. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He says, the clock's ticking. 40 days. If you don't get your act right, everything's over. It's probably over anyway in 40 days. See, there's another chance for Nineveh because God's proclaimed it. The proclamation of the king of Nineveh we can find in verses 5 through 9. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. You know, I guarantee you, if Jonah didn't say anything, they would have gone to hell because of their sin. But folks, if we don't say something, people won't know. It was important for Jonah to go to Nineveh. God went through great lengths to get him there. And it says here in verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a what? A fast. And put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. I guarantee you, Jonah didn't think that this was going to happen. We know from the rest of the story. We know from the rest of the book. The last thing in his mind was them getting right with God. And there's a lot of people out there who say, they'll never get right with God. That doesn't mean that we don't talk to them. That doesn't mean we don't tell them the truth.
Right.
It's not up for us to determine who's going to get right and who's not. It's for us to tell the truth.
Amen.
Verse 6. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. See, it's not too late for a country. It worked back then, it'll work today. For word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Boy, wouldn't that be great that our government would do that.
Amen.
And repent. Verse 7, and caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh. It's not about a national prayer breakfast. It's about people getting right with God. By the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Get right with God. Bad things are going to happen. We're going to be destroyed in 40 days. The clock's ticking. And cry mightily unto God. But there's more. You know, there's a lot of crying out to God. But there needs to be change in people's lives who cry out to God.
Yep.
Say, yea, let them what? Turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Because we don't know what the future is. God knows. And the king's got some wisdom here. In verse 9 it says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we what? Perish not. See, judgment's coming, folks. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming, America. Are we right? God's given us a second chance. Every time his words preach is another chance. Is another chance. So we see the proclamation of God on Nineveh. We see the proclamation of the king of Nineveh. And then thirdly, we see the product of the repentance. In verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. He showed his mercy, that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Amen.
There's always hope with God. There's peace with God. There's grace with God. There's mercy with God. But if you never go to God, you'll never get it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter who you are, or where you are, or what you did. God gives another chance.
Amen.
And that's a tremendous, tremendous promise from his word. We know that Jesus even uses Nineveh and Sodom and Tyre and all them when he's preaching at people that won't believe in his day. He said it'd be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for you. We need to listen. We need to learn. That's all Old Testament. We don't care about that. Oh, yes, we do.
Amen.
Yes, we do. So we see that there's another chance for Nineveh because God wanted to give them another chance. And so now we get into the meat of the story tonight. The anger of Jonah. The anger of Jonah is so, so harsh. Everybody should be what? Rejoicing! God's word worked. God's will was done. God was glorified. People turned from their evil ways. That should make people happy. But it didn't make Jonah happy. In verse 1, we see the extent of his anger. And he starts blaming God for stuff. And it says in verse 1, and look at the words that are used to modify this. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. You know, Christ told the crowd, he says, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that what? Repents. Here's a whole city that repents. Amen. And here's the man of God, mad. Because God didn't do what he thought should be done. So it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Very angry. You could say that he was consumed with it. So we see here the extent of his anger. You know, Job, he got frustrated with God too. And he kept on saying, I didn't do anything wrong. Finally, he learned what God had for him. Jonah still has to learn the lesson. The fish wasn't enough. It's an amazing thing. The fish wasn't enough. He got a second chance. Got vomited up on dry land. He could have been fish bait for the rest of his life. But now he's angry because God gave somebody else a second chance. The excuse for his anger is found in verse 2, and it's sad. It's truly sad. And he prayed unto the Lord. Now, if you've got an issue with God, I guarantee you the very first thing you should do is pray to God. But the thing that you need to understand is see things God's way. Okay? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. But see, his prayer is messed up. He says, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in the country? And now we know the reason why he ran. Because he hated Nineveh. He didn't want them to get right. He had prejudice against them. He said, therefore I fled in Tarshish, for I knew. Wait a second. Look at this. For I knew that thou art a gracious God. The Bible says that every good thing and every perfect thing cometh from the Father above. Thou art gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. God, those people in Nineveh deserve to be destroyed. And you didn't do it. Jonah, you deserve to be destroyed. And God didn't do it. How can we sit and get angry at God for what happens? God is sovereign. We see the extent of his anger here. We see the excuse for his anger. And then we see the expressions of his anger in verses 3 through 5. On himself. In verse 3 says this. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better me to die than to live. Wow. You know, sometimes we can get so upset with situations around us, so this is just not worth it. It's not worth going on. It's not worth doing any of this stuff. And sometimes when things happen the way God wanted them to happen, or God allowed to happen, we just have to find his grace. So his expression of anger was on himself. His expression of anger on God. So God asked him this question. Then said the Lord, and here's one of those questions that have the obvious answer. You know, Paul says, Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what? God forbid. The obvious answer is no, right? Okay? Remember with Cain and Abel? You know, would if you did right, Cain, would you not be accepted? The answer to that one was yes. And so Jonah in his anger here, God's trying to wake him up and see things the way it's supposed to be. And he says, then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? The obvious answer is what? No. What you're doing, Jonah, is not good. What you're doing, Jonah, won't work. What you're doing, Jonah, is you're holding a grudge. You're holding bitterness in your life. Remember the story of Bar-Jesus. He wanted to do the works of God. He wanted to pay the apostles for the thing. And he said what? He says, you're in the gall of what? Bitterness. Because didn't get the answer that he wanted. Didn't get the thing that he wanted. So the expression of his anger was on himself. He said, I'd rather just die. Just take me out of here. It didn't go the way I wanted it, so I'm done. God comes in and says, wait a second, Jonah. Is it really a good thing to be angry? And the answer is no. And then he's angry at Nineveh. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there he made him a booth. He made him a tent. Okay? And sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the sea. You know, I'm glad that Jonah wasn't God. You know, I'm glad that we're not God. Okay? We probably take things in our own hands. We probably turn everybody else into crispy critters. It's not us. Remember John? Peter? He didn't listen to us. What should we do? Just call out fire on them. Okay? So Jonah says, okay. So God says, is it okay to be angry? No, it's not okay. Well, I'll just come up here. And I'll get in my little tent. And I'll see what's going to happen. Because I want this to happen. And God, you're going to do it my way. You're going to do it my way, or you're not God in my mind. See, this is really interesting for someone who's in the Bible as a prophet. But we can learn from this. So we see here the anger of Jonah, the extent of his anger, the excuse for his anger, the expression of his anger on himself, on God, and also on Nineveh. You know, I'm so glad that God gives us a second chance. And a third chance. And a fourth chance. And a fifth chance. You know, Peter had this issue. How often do I have to forgive my brother? Seven times? No, till what? Seven times 70. You know, the real issue is how do we really treat God in our life? You know, we probably got a whole bunch more chances given to us by God than we even realize. Because we don't walk righteously. Jonah wasn't walking righteously. I'm glad that God has mercy. I'm glad that he has grace. I'm glad. He says, what does Jeremiah say? He says, if it wasn't for his mercies, we'd all be what? Consumed. So we see the actions of God. In place of Jonah's anger, God shows mercy. A soft anger, a soft answer turns away what? Wrath. The Bible says, be angry and what? Sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Because God says, if you start getting anger and you just kind of leave it, get all built up and you just kind of hold it in, you don't get rid of it, and you don't give it away, then you're going to get bitter. And then you'll start thinking things and saying things that really don't mean. So, God's going to give Jonah an object lesson. We all know the story. So he makes this gourd, okay? Some people think it was a castor oil plant. but something that grew very quick, had big leaves. Could be a banana tree. I know there's no water in the desert, but it doesn't matter. God could do whatever he wants to. You know, he made 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feed a whole bunch of people. He can do whatever he wants to. You know why? He's God. We're not. So we just need to do what he tells us to do in color. Okay? So in verse 6, and the Lord God, just so we get the idea here, he's Lord and God. Okay? So the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head. I don't know if he was bald or not. But you go out in the hot Texas sun, it's bad. Come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Now, does Jonah recognize that this is God's mercy? No. God's trying to change his heart. You know, God puts situations in our lives to kind of get us focused on him. And so in verse 6, he shows mercy. But then in verses 7 and 8, he shows judgment. Always before there's judgment, there's mercy. There's a chance. There's another chance to get right. So in verses 7 and 8, but God... Oh, I hate those worms. Don't you? Don't you just hate those things that come into your life and just eat away? And they just chew you all up and then there's nothing left. You know, you got a plant outside, you're trying to take care of the plant, and then something starts eating the leaves and you go, what's up with this? But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose, the next day. Jonah, did you learn your lesson today? So the next day, you're doing the right thing. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it wasn't one of those things like it just took a while. It withered. It just... So as fast as God's mercy comes in, God's judgment comes in just as quick. Not only that, but God had a double whammy. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a behemoth. Now, Jonah's what? He was angry exceedingly. Okay? You get this? I love what the Bible does at times. Okay? Because it says he was exceedingly angry. He was very wroth. So what does God do? I'll show you. I'm going to give you a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. I bet you the sun was particularly hot that day. Wasn't a cloud in the sky. That he what? Fainted. And wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. You know, what did Jonah say before? I wish that I was what? Dead. God says, okay. How's this feel? You angry with me? How's this feel? It wasn't very pleasant. He gives him mercy, gives him the gourd, and then takes the gourd away. Who gave him the gourd? God. Who took it away? God. Who sent him to Nineveh? Who prepared the fish? Who gave Jonah a second chance? Who changed his mind on Nineveh? God. And so with mercy and judgment comes revelation. See, Job is 42 chapters of Job learning about himself. Okay? Really is. He learns about himself. There's some things he needs. Folks, life's things come in our lives to teach us. And so there's revelation. Verse 9. So, God says, hey, how'd you like that east wind? Hey, how'd you like that sun? Hey, how'd you like that gourd? You were happy for that gourd, right? Verse 9, he says, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd or to have pity on the gourd? Yep. And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. I wish that gourd was here now. I wish God's mercy was here now. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, but look at this. For the which thou hast not labored, that gourd, you didn't find the gourd, it came to you. See, you don't go find God's mercy, it comes to you. You need to be in His presence. You need to be in the right place at the right time with the right mindset. He said that, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night. Not only that, it was a miraculous gourd. That puppy grew up overnight. He made his big leaves and shelter you. And perished in the night. See, what God can give us, God can take away just as quick. We want God to bless us. We want God to do all these things to us. And boy, we're really happy when things are going our way. But boy, you turn them off, and then all of a sudden, well, God did this to me, and God did that to me, and God did this to me, and God did that to me. No, God's still God. His mercy endures forever. He's gracious. Jonah had it right. He said, I knew you were a gracious God. And so the object lesson was what? God can do what God wants to do. We just need to be part of God's instrument. And so in verse 11 it says, okay, so you didn't ask for the gourd. I gave it to you. Okay, but just get your attention. I took the gourd away. You didn't ask for the east wind. I gave it to you. But for your attention, I took it away. You shouldn't have run away the first time. But I gave you a good fish so you could get water transport back to land. So you could do what you were supposed to do in the first place. You don't see all the things that I've been doing in your life. And folks, tonight I want you to understand what God has done in your life. If He saved you, boy, that's enough right there. Amen. And then all the other stuff, we're not supposed to forget all of His benefits, right? And so God says this, He says, should not I spare Nineveh? He says, you're one dude. And I've been doing all these things for you. He says, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where are more than what? 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. They didn't know what they were doing. You know, that's called forgiveness. Christ on the cross said what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, what we need to understand is, let us learn from Jonah. Let us learn from Jonah. Let us not forget this story. Let us understand that God gives us a second chance, and He's going to give somebody else a second chance. And because He gives somebody else a second chance and not you, when you think you get one, that doesn't mean that God's wrong. It means God's God. He reigns on the just and the unjust. And we need to look at that and follow Him. And, you know, the best thing we could do is not put God in a position where He has to give us a second chance. Amen? Amen. Or a third chance. We just lived for Him. We wouldn't go through things like this. We just need to do the right thing. So let us learn from Jonah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask You with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. And Father, help us, Lord, to learn. Help us, Lord, not to forget. Father, help us, Lord, to be Your servants. Father, if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, Lord, tonight I pray that they would say the sinner's prayer, Lord. Understand that you died on the cross for their sins, you were buried, you rose the third day to show you have the power to forgive sins and the power to give eternal life. And that they would just cry out and say, Lord, forgive me my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I believe that you are who you say you are. God in the flesh, the Messiah. Lord, for us, help us, Lord, to follow you and to accept what you've done in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.